structures and do different things in the body. In particular, omega-3s have anti-inflammatory benefits and are more difficult to find in standard Western diets, since most refined vegetable oils, which I'll discuss in detail later, consist of polyunsaturated omega-6s. Poultry, the most common protein in Western diets, is also high in omega-6s. For this reason, the Bulletproof Diet focuses on increasing your intake of omega-3s from sources like fish and krill oil and reducing, but not entirely eliminating, omega-6s. It's important to have the right balance of omega-3s and omega-6s. As you read in the previous chapter, saturated fats have been vilified ever since Ansel Keys used faulty research to back his claim that they led to heart disease. But an exhaustive analysis of 76 academic studies involving more than 600,000 participants found that saturated fat consumption is in fact not associated with coronary disease risk. This is well known in the anti-aging world where I cut my teeth, and it's baked into, pun intended, the Bulletproof Diet. Preferred Proteins. I spent years on a high-protein diet with limited saturated fats and lots of monounsaturated fats, and I experienced the same problems I often see in my clients on low-carb diets. They lose a great deal of weight by increasing protein and reducing carbohydrates, but their weight loss stalls before they reach their ideal weight, and brain fog often sets in. I lost 50 pounds of fat and inflammation in 3 months using a high-protein diet, but the other 50 pounds I wanted to lose wouldn't budge, and it was taking a lot of willpower to keep the first 50 off. After years of experimenting, I even tried a raw vegan diet that was very low in protein out of desperation. For a little while, it worked really well, and I noticed a dramatic decrease in my overall levels of inflammation. I realized that my previous diets had included too much protein, which was contributing to inflammation. But after a few months as a raw vegan, I noticed that my health was not moving in the right direction. So, I added more protein to my diet, but this time in moderate amounts, and I focused on quality protein. That's when I really started to thrive. Had I not cut protein out of my diet to such an extent, I probably wouldn't have realized that too much protein had been causing inflammation. When I did the research, I learned that scientists have indeed found that excess protein can cause inflammation because it is more difficult for the body to digest than other macronutrients. Compared to healthy fats, protein itself is metabolically difficult to turn into glucose for energy. This is because your liver requires a source of fuel to efficiently process protein, and that fuel must come from either fat or glucose. This is one reason a low-fat, zero-added-sugar, and high-protein meal can leave you feeling full but still cause you to crave sweets later in the day. Without a good source of glycogen or fat, your body needs sugar to digest all that protein. Over the last 30 years, high-protein diets have become synonymous with health, because these diets are often low in sugar and fat. But the truth is that while a high-protein, low-fat diet is superior to a high-carbohydrate diet, you'll get the very best results from a diet with moderate amounts of protein and ample healthy fats, too. The Bulletproof Diet focuses on adequate, but not excessive, amounts of very high-quality protein. Just as different fats affect your body differently, the type of protein you eat has a unique impact on your immune system, inflammation, and muscle gain. The oversimplified idea that protein is healthy has allowed the processed food industry to stuff their products with low-quality proteins, including gluten and soy. I'll talk about these kryptonite foods in more detail later. By focusing on less inflammatory, more bioavailable proteins that your body can easily process on the Bulletproof Diet, you'll have higher quality raw materials for your body and get more energy than you would from eating larger amounts of lower quality proteins. Of course, if you're a high-performance athlete or trying to gain a lot of muscle, you should consume more protein than the average person to support that goal. But for most people, up to 20% of your daily calories should come from bulletproof protein sources, such as low-mercury fish, grass-fed beef and lamb, pastured eggs, hydrolyzed collagen, gelatin, and clean whey concentrate. Poultry is a somewhat inferior protein that should be eaten in moderation. Protein is so important to your survival for maintaining muscle mass and bone density that your body and brain have powerful feedback mechanisms to keep you from eating too little or too much of it. If you crave protein, eat more. If the thought of one more egg makes you cringe, eat less. There are certain people who benefit from getting more than 20% of their daily calories from protein. These include people who need to lose a considerable amount of weight and are often leptin and/or insulin resistant. Those who are stressed, including people on heavy exercise regimens and who don't get enough sleep. And people who are getting older and are suffering from muscle wasting. The exact number of protein grams that you should eat each day varies greatly depending on your gender, age, and muscle mass to fat ratio. A good general rule is to experiment with between 0.325 and 0.75 gram of protein a day per pound of body weight. This roughly corresponds to 20% of calories and is the right amount for most people, with the exceptions noted above, to maintain lean body mass, hormone balance, and positive nitrogen levels. Grass-fed versus grain-fed meat. With the misleading food labels in most grocery stores, it can be very confusing to know which forms of protein are the healthiest. I'm going to make it simple for you. Organic, grass-fed meat provides more nutrients and fewer toxins than grain-fed or conventional meat, with more antioxidants, omega-3s, trace minerals, and vitamins than any other food. Consuming grass-fed meat is one of the best ways to prevent disease, improve brain function, lose weight, and become bulletproof. In 2006, a study measured the fatty acid composition of meat from three categories. One from cattle that were fed grains for just 80 days before slaughter. One from animals fed byproduct feedstuff that contained a mixture of grains and a cottonseed/protein mix. And one that was exclusively grass-fed. The grass-fed cows had more healthy omega-3s and more conjugated linoleic acid, CLA, which is a type of naturally occurring trans fatty acid that improves brain function, causes weight loss, and reduces your risk of cancer. Just 80 days of grain feeding was enough to destroy the omega-3 and CLA content of the beef, but the longer the animal ate grains, the lower the quality of the meat. The omega-3 quantity in grain-fed meat was so low that it didn't qualify as a meaningful dietary source, while the grass-fed meat had enough omega-3s to be considered a good source of these fats. Good science is repeatable. In 2008, another study compared a broad spectrum of nutrients in grass-fed to those in grain-fed beef. The grass-fed meat had higher levels of carotenoids, which are pigments that made the fat appear yellow. Generally, the more carotenoids in a substance, the more nutrients it contains. Yellow fat, like grass-fed butter, is a sign of high nutrient density. One of the things you'll notice when cooking grass-fed meat is the yellowish color of the fat. More carotenoids equal more antioxidants, nutrients, and flavor. The grass-fed meat had slightly less total fat than grain-fed meat, but the real difference was the type of fat in each meat. Grass-fed meat was higher in saturated fat, omega-3s, CLA, and transvaccinic acid, which is similar to CLA. The grain-fed and grass-fed animals had about the same amounts of omega-6s, total polyunsaturated fat, and cholesterol. This means the grass-fed meat had a better ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids and healthier fats overall. Some people assume that organic meat is just as good as grass-fed meat, but it's clear from these studies that the differences in the fat content between grass-fed and grain-fed meat were related specifically to the animal's diet. Organic grain-fed meat is certainly better than conventional meat, however, which contains obesity-causing hormones and toxins, formed by mold that wind up in cattle food and get added during meat processing. If an animal isn't fed nutritious food, it won't become nutritious food. There is no magical transformation from stale gummy bears, sometimes part of the feedlot diet, into vitamins, minerals, and healthy fats. Feeding cattle junk food turns them into junk food. Ruminant animals are meant to eat grass, not grains, stale bread, cereal, chicken feathers, or city garbage, as are sometimes added to cut the cost of animal feed. I couldn't make this up if I tried. Grass-fed meat is better for the economy, the environment, the farmers, and the animals. But most important and relevant to this book, it's far better for you. Mom was right. Eat your vegetables. The Bulletproof Diet is high in nutrient-rich vegetables. Read that twice, please. It does not say fruits and vegetables. As you read in the previous chapter, fruit is full of performance-sapping fructose and should only be eaten in small amounts. Vegetables, however, are extremely healthy, and on the Bulletproof Diet, you should eat as many vegetables as you can possibly stand. When it comes to vegetables, you can't eat too many. If you were to translate this into FDA servings, which vary greatly due to the vegetable's water content, it would come to 6 to 11 servings of vegetables per day. If this seems like too much food on top of the fat and protein I already mentioned, that's fine. If you feel like eating less, that's a good thing. Don't force yourself to meet these guidelines. There is a range to all of these recommendations for a reason. For example, if you eat 70% of your daily calories from fat, you may need slightly less protein than someone who gets only 50% of their calories from fat. Because vegetables are naturally low in calories, you'll eat more servings of vegetables per day than any other food group on the Bulletproof Diet. But only 20% of your daily calories actually come from vegetables. Not all veggies are created equal. Because you'll be eating so many of them, the Bulletproof Diet focuses on vegetables with the highest nutrient content and lowest anti-nutrient load. This will provide all of your micronutrient needs that don't come from animal products, leaving very little need to consume foods that are overloaded with sugar and refined carbohydrates. And don't worry. If you don't like vegetables, remember that you get to coat them in sea salt and delicious grass-fed butter. Just enough starch and a little fruit for fun. Starch. On the Bulletproof Diet, only 5% of your daily calories should come from fruit and starch combined. And if losing weight is your priority, you should avoid them on most days, as described in the 14-day program. By getting so many micronutrients from high-quality proteins, fats, and vegetables, you'll dramatically reduce, but not completely eliminate, your need to consume bulletproof starches, such as white rice and starchy vegetables, like sweet potatoes, yams, carrots, and pumpkins. When you eat zero carbs for more than a few days straight, you run the risk of being so low on carbohydrates that your body doesn't even have the amount of sugar it needs for basic physiological processes. This is a matter of debate in ketogenic dieting circles, where some people, including guests on the Bulletproof Radio podcast, have thrived on near-zero carbohydrate diets for months straight. One of the first symptoms of cutting too many carbs for too long is having very dry eyes. Being this low in carbs will also ruin your quality of sleep. You don't want to get that low. Eating no carbs for extended periods can also damage your thyroid, and my history of low-carb dieting is one of the reasons I had so many thyroid issues before hacking the Bulletproof Diet. To maintain your weight, or after heavy exercise, one or two servings of carbohydrates a day will keep you from getting too low on carbs while getting all the benefits of low-carb dieting. To actively lose weight, fewer carbs does help. There is a specific type of starch called resistant starch that can radically change your gut biome and cause it to produce a beneficial fatty acid called butyrate. Some of you may have seen Richard Nicolai's mind-blowing posts on resistant starch on his popular blog, Free the Animal, which is where I first learned about it. Resistant starch acts more like a fiber or prebiotic than a typical starch. A prebiotic is the food that your gut bacteria eat, while a probiotic is the gut bacteria themselves. The term resistant starch comes from the fact that these starches are resistant to digestion. This type of starch is interesting because, since your body is incapable of breaking it down, it's a starch you can eat that doesn't cause your insulin to rise and produce the resulting blood sugar problems. For some, but not all, people, resistant starch feeds the healthy bacteria in their gut. Because resistant starch does not digest in the stomach, it arrives in the colon intact. According to several studies, good bacteria in the colon thrive on resistant starch and produce a short-chain fatty acid called butyrate, butyric acid, when they digest it. Butyrate is vital for a healthy gut and a healthy brain, both when you digest it and produce it. One reason that butter is so bulletproof is that it is high in butyric acid. I don't recommend you experiment with resistant starch during the 14-day bulletproof diet plan, because it can have all sorts of unpredictable impacts and can take 6 weeks or more to adjust to having it in your diet. One emerging theory is that if your stomach isn't able to handle resistant starch, you may have imbalanced gut bacteria. This is likely if you've taken antibiotics in the past year or eat industrial meat. You can get a gastrointestinal pathogen panel or even have the genetic sequencing of your gut bacteria done. I've done both to work on that problem. This is a biohack that may well be worth your time, but it takes work beyond the scope of this book to implement properly and likely requires specific probiotics to work. That said, some people find that including resistant starch in their diets can hack the gut biome and improve their overall health. Another benefit of resistant starch is that when taken at night, it can stabilize blood sugar and provide building blocks for serotonin, helping you sleep better. The main types of resistant starch don't exist in most typical diets. They include green banana flour, plantain flour, a special kind of resistant cornstarch, and potato starch. Some people respond better to some of these forms of resistant starch than others, so it's a good idea to try all four and see what works best for you. Because so many people's gut biomes can't handle resistant starch, it's not included in the 2-week bulletproof diet. 2 weeks on the bulletproof diet will improve your gut biome anyway, and once you're in maintenance mode, your gut may benefit even more from including it. The research on resistant starch is brand new, and you can expect to see a lot more written about this in the coming months and years. But you can benefit now by becoming your own biohacker and seeing which forms of resistant starch, if any, work for you. Don't despair if, after you finish the 14-day plan, you try eating resistant starch, only to find it causes you to have endless flatulence and discomfort. This has been the case for me with most forms of resistant starch, despite some advanced biohacking experimentation and consultation with experts. It turns out that there is another way to feed healthy gut bacteria and make butyric acid in the gut that is largely unknown in Western diets. Consuming gelatin, collagen, and connective tissue from meat. Think ribs. I feel and perform better on these foods than I do on resistant starch. But individual genetics, your gut biome, and even the physical structure of your gut may be influencers here. Now that you know this, be a biohacker and see if resistant starch or gelatin works better for you. Whichever one you end up with, keep eating gelatin or collagen because they're vital protein sources. Whether you consume the bulletproof starches on the 2-week plan, resistant starch, and or collagen, it is important to feed your gut bacteria something. While I was developing the bulletproof diet, I heard that some Eskimo populations survived on no carbohydrates at all, and I decided to try this to see what it would do to my health and performance. The result of that experiment was a host of new food allergies because the bacteria in my gut were literally starving, and my body did not have enough carbohydrate to efficiently maintain my gut lining. Most people are going to be better off with both resistant starch and gelatin, in addition to 1 or 2 servings of starchy vegetables every day or two on the bulletproof diet. Sadly, A diet of only steak and butter won't work for the long term, even though it works great for several days at a time. Fruits. Fruits have a small amount of fiber and a few nutrients, but the amount of sugar, particularly fructose, they contain makes them a good dessert option rather than a healthy diet staple. On the Bulletproof Diet, you should eat no more than 25 grams of fructose a day, which is roughly the amount in about 2 apples. As you'll read later in the book, the most bulletproof fruits are those with the least fructose, the most nutrients, and the lowest risk of anti-nutrients and mold toxin contamination. These include raspberries, blackberries, and strawberries. The main sources of nutritional kryptonite. On the Bulletproof Diet, there is a set of specific kryptonite foods that are not worth putting in your body. They provide little or no benefits while making you fat, sluggish, and weak. Later, we'll talk about the individual foods you should strive to avoid. But first, let's discuss the main types of food that I consider kryptonite. While you're enjoying delicious fats and high-quality proteins, along with plenty of veggies and low to moderate amounts of carbs, here are the food groups you won't miss. Performance-sapping sugar. You've already read about how fructose makes you fat, raises your triglycerides, ages your tissues, and saps your willpower. Regular table sugar is half fructose and half glucose. That means it's less harmful than pure fructose or high fructose corn syrup, which has undergone processing to change some of its glucose to fructose to make it sweeter. Fructose raises triglycerides more than regular sugar does, and as a result, causes more metabolic damage. But the problem with regular sugar is that, unlike fructose, it triggers the same reward centers in many people's brains that cocaine does. But sugar is legal, and it's everywhere. There's even evidence that consuming a lot of sugar can decrease the number of dopamine receptors in your brain, making it harder for you to feel the energy and pleasure from your body's production of dopamine. This is called dopamine resistance. The same exact thing happens to drug addicts. To top it off, sugar provides zero satiation, so you're left hungry immediately after consuming large amounts of it. Eating sugar makes you tired, disrupts brain and hormone function, and promotes obesity. Most people are familiar with the term sugar crash, but many don't know where this term comes from. After you eat sugar, it's not only your focus and energy that crash, but also your actual blood sugar levels too. Insulin is a hormone secreted by the pancreas that regulates blood sugar. When you eat sugar, blood sugars naturally rise, causing the pancreas to secrete insulin. But the pancreas isn't great at estimating how much insulin to release, and usually overdoes it, secreting large amounts of insulin that cause your blood sugar to drop dramatically. This is the famous crash that causes brain fog, sluggishness, and food cravings. When the crash comes, the Labrador in your head feels like your body is starving, and it reduces energy to your human brain right when you need it to apply more willpower to make the Labrador behave. The result? You find yourself eating the cookie you swore you weren't going to eat. When insulin levels are boosted from eating sugar and excess carbohydrates, your body gets the signal to store fat instead of burning it. This is because insulin regulates blood sugar levels by moving excess glucose into fat cells, where they are stored with water as saturated fat. When insulin levels are kept low on the Bulletproof Diet, your body has no fuel to burn except fat, so it does so consistently and efficiently. The consumption of excess sugar and carbohydrates is a major factor in the obesity epidemic, and eliminating sugar is one of the very best things you can do for your health, weight, and overall performance. Poisonous processed foods. As a young adult, I really enjoyed eating gyros, Greek sandwiches containing roasted meat, at a restaurant near my office. After I learned that I felt better when I avoided gluten, I asked them to slice the meat directly onto a big salad and serve it without any bread. I thought this made for a nice, healthy lunch, but I started to experience severe brain fog 2 hours after lunch, and after experimenting with different meals, I correlated that specific lunch with the unwanted foggy feeling. I went to the restaurant and asked the cook what was in the meat, and I found out that the nice rotisserie meat I was eating also contained soy protein, monosodium glutamate, MSG, and other strange ingredients that weren't actually meat. The food I was eating had been processed and manipulated by the restaurant in order to make the more expensive meat stretch further, and it was those additives that were causing me to lag in the afternoon. When my Labrador brain demanded an energy boost 2 hours after lunch, I started a terrible habit of eating sugar and drinking more coffee in the late afternoon to keep me going. But when I avoided eating the chemical meat for lunch, I didn't need the extra boost later. The same thing happens with energy bars and other foods that have been processed to include inexpensive proteins, chemically damaged fats, and synthetic flavorings. MSG is one of the most common artificial flavorings added to processed foods. MSG is a chemical that is meant to make food taste better. It was developed in Japan during World War II to help sell lower quality or even spoiled foods. By making things that really weren't food taste good, MSG helped food producers sell empty calories to consumers. And it does taste good. But MSG also messes with the way your neurotransmitters cause the nerves in your brain to fire. MSG is an excitatory neurotransmitter that sends signals from one cell to another. Consuming it can cause the cells it activates to become overexcited. This leads to cell damage and often cell death. As your cells become damaged and/or die, your neurons signal for more energy. You may experience this as a headache, a sudden mood swing, or a craving for sweets, the fastest source of energy. This is obviously a substance to avoid for optimum performance. The most common sources of MSG are processed chips, commercial salad dressings, broths, commercial soups, and sauces like barbecue sauce and ketchup. Most spice mixes also contain MSG. Artificial sweeteners are another common additive in processed foods, especially sugar-free snack foods. Aspartame is one synthetic sweetener that is responsible for a large number of adverse reactions. I used to consume aspartame before I became aware of how harmful it is. I enjoyed its sweet taste and thought I was doing myself a favor by drinking diet soda, which contains aspartame, instead of regular soda. But I was wrong. Both MSG and aspartame caused my blood sugar levels to fluctuate so badly that it took years for me to sort them out. Because they don't contain any real sugar or calories, it was hard to pin down aspartame and MSG as the causes of those blood sugar swings. Now that I'm aware, it's amazing to realize what a stick of sugar-free gum with aspartame does to my performance. Aspartame, which is now marketed as AminoSweet as well as NutraSweet, is made of two amino acids, which are proteins' building blocks. These amino acids wouldn't be harmful if one of them, phenylalanine, wasn't chemically altered. Pardon the slight detour into biochemistry here. The addition of a methyl ester bond to phenylalanine makes it taste sweet, but the side effect is that it makes it easy for phenylalanine to form free methanol, wood alcohol. There is methanol in vegetables and fruits, but when found there, it's bound to pectin and doesn't harm you. When methanol is free, it gets converted into formaldehyde in the liver. This is just as poisonous to your body as it sounds. Aspartame can cause long-term damage and doesn't belong in your diet if you are interested in feeling amazing, living a long time, or performing anywhere near your best. There are several other sweet food additives that provide no benefit and contain significant risks, including acesulfame K, ACE-K, saccharin, sucralose, Splenda, and tagatose. By eating most high-quality fats, protein, and vegetables on the bulletproof diet, it will be easy for you to avoid these ingredients without having to waste time reading ingredient lists on packages of processed kryptonite foods. Don't worry, there are safe sweeteners you can use on the bulletproof diet, and even recipes later in the book for delicious, sweet, and satisfying bulletproof desserts. GMO ingredients. People often don't think of GMO ingredients as processed foods. But if you define processed as chemically altered, then GMOs are indeed as processed as any other frankenfood. The term genetically modified means that either a crop or an animal's genes have been altered for some specific purpose. Unfortunately, GMO foods are becoming ubiquitous, especially among canola, corn, cottonseed, sugarcane, potatoes, and soy crops. While some people disagree, I consider the products made with these ingredients, such as vegetable oils and high fructose corn syrup, to be kryptonite. Consuming GMOs is so unproven and risky that a few countries have outlawed the practice of GMO farming, while most require GMO foods to be clearly labeled. But in the United States, GMO farming is not only allowed, there is also no law requiring food labels to state whether or not they contain GMO ingredients. In the United States, if a food is labeled organic, it cannot contain any GMO ingredients. So the best way to avoid GMO ingredients completely is to purchase only certified organic food. As GMOs have become popular over the past 3 decades, there has also been a 400% increase in allergies, a 300% increase in asthma, a 400% increase in attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and a 1,500% increase in autism spectrum disorder. The science is still out as to whether or not there's a definite connection between GMOs and these health issues. But until these foods are proven to be safe, I recommend avoiding them. This may be controversial in the United States, but in the rest of the world, people are aware of the risks of consuming GMOs. There, they are widely believed to cause reproductive issues, immune dysfunction, and a host of other issues. Regardless of the other possible health risks, it is certain that GMOs contain far fewer nutrients than their non-GMO equivalents. There is simply no reason to eat GMO foods if you want to be a high-performing individual. Vegetable oils that don't come from vegetables. The bulletproof diet is all about fat, but the type of fat you consume is key. As you read earlier, the most stable fats are saturated, while the most unstable, easily oxidized, and therefore inflammatory fats are polyunsaturated fats. Eating excess polyunsaturated fats will not improve your health, longevity, or performance, and is likely to contribute to cancer and metabolic problems. The most common polyunsaturated oils that you should avoid include canola, corn, cottonseed, peanut, safflower, soybean, sunflower, and all other vegetable oils. Besides being so unstable, the main problems with these oils is that most are genetically modified and many contain toxic solvents used in their production. It's not easy to squeeze oil out of something like corn, so in order to maximize production, solvents are needed. As a result, these oils cause inflammation rather than reducing it, like healthier bulletproof fats like grass-fed animal fat, coconut oil, medium-chain triglyceride, MCT oil, butter, or olive oil do. These kryptonite oils also provide unhealthy amounts of omega-6 polyunsaturated fats. Your body does need omega-6s, but we eat so many of them in a standard Western diet that it's almost impossible to consume too few. Ideally, you should consume no more than 4 times as many omega-6s as omega-3s, but most people today eat 20 to 50 times as many omega-6s. This is important because an imbalance in tissue fatty acid content is one of the most potent sources of inflammation, as omega-6 is pro-inflammatory and normal levels of omega-3 are anti-inflammatory. If you eat the oils that most restaurants and processed food companies use, you're getting huge amounts of an inflammatory omega-6 fatty acid called linoleic acid, way more than humans have ever consumed in history. It is not benign. Linoleic acid and other omega-6 oils are incorporated into your cell membranes and are even stored as body fat. Since these oils are unstable, they oxidize in your body, not to mention when you cook them. Oxidized omega-6 fats do damage to your DNA, inflame your heart tissues, and raise your risk of several types of cancer including breast cancer. But perhaps worst of all, your brain pays the price. Oxidized omega-6 fats don't support optimal brain metabolism. Anything that increases general inflammation in the body isn't going to help your brain perform better, and excess omega-6 fats are no exception. When these oils are used in packaged foods, they are usually stabilized in order to sit on the shelf by a process called hydrogenation. This process, which turns already unhealthy fats into more harmful synthetic trans fats, has been linked to many health problems and is a major cause of obesity. The government has made efforts to reduce, but not eliminate, hydrogenated oils. When you ingest man-made trans fats, your body tries to use them to build cells, but cell walls made of these trans fats cannot function properly. There is one naturally occurring trans fat that is chemically completely different from artificial trans fats. It is called conjugated linoleic acid, CLA, mentioned earlier in the chapter, and is found in grass-fed butter. While artificial trans fats damage your health and performance, CLA has a host of health benefits. It is absolutely not the same as margarine. Gut-destroying grains. Wheat is a particularly important grain to avoid because of the many negative side effects of gluten, a protein found in wheat and other grains. As I mentioned before, the first time I lost a substantial amount of weight, about 50 pounds, was after going on a standard low-carb diet. In addition to losing weight, I found that my personality changed dramatically. I'm not proud of this, but I'll own up to the fact that as an obese young man, I had overdeveloped muscles in my middle finger because of road rage. After I went on the low-carb diet and ditched the gluten, my family noticed that I was far less angry than usual, and my Labrador brain's desire to flip off other drivers magically went away. It felt like I was waking up from a fog. It was clear to me that something in my diet had caused these drastic personality changes, and as I experimented with adding different types of carbs back in, I quickly saw that it was gluten. As the bulletproof diet began to take shape, I started doing a cheat day once a week. On that day, I'd often eat gluten. Tracking my energy, mood, and food cravings, I noticed that when I ate gluten, I was fine the day after. But 2 or 3 days later, I became cranky and foggy. Although this is unusual, some people respond to a food exposure up to 10 days later. This may be because it takes a while for inflammation to travel through the body and reach the brain. For me, eating gluten on Saturday night meant brain fog Monday morning. Gluten-containing grains are addictive and break down in the gut into opioid compounds called gluteomorphins that trigger the same receptors in your brain as opiate drugs like heroin. If you allow your Labrador brain to get addicted to the opiates formed by grain digestion, your human brain is going to experience that as insatiable hunger and cravings that last for days after you last ate grains. Every single piece of bread will have a siren call that sucks your willpower until you give in and eat it. I struggled with this problem for years. I'd give up gluten and grains only to have just one piece on a cheat day. Then the next day, my Labrador brain would trick me into rationalizing the case for eating just one more. Soon I was on the slippery slope of gluten-induced weight gain and brain fog. Opiate addicts don't have just one, and you shouldn't eat any gluten-containing grains either. The trick is to give them up completely. This will dramatically increase your ability to live up to your full potential, and you'll undoubtedly feel an immediate difference in your body and your brain. There is plenty of research to show that eating gluten has negative health consequences. It causes inflammation and gastrointestinal distress, and contributes to autoimmune diseases and a host of other issues. Gluten causes overrelease of zonulin, a protein that controls the spaces between your gut cells. When the gap between your intestinal cells opens after eating gluten, bacteria, undigested food, and toxins flood into your bloodstream. This causes inflammation throughout your entire body, including in your brain. Gluten also reduces blood flow to the brain and can interfere with thyroid function. In one study, feeding wheat to healthy volunteers depleted their vitamin D stores. Perhaps worst of all, the effects of gluten exposure can last for up to 6 months in your immune system. While some people have a more extreme reaction than others, this goes for everyone, not just those who are sensitive to gluten. No doubt about it, grains are great at keeping people alive when there is no other food available, such as in times of food scarcity. Eating grains is much better than starving during a famine. But when societies begin growing grain, especially wheat, they experience skeletal deformities, particularly in the jaw and spine, and the average height goes down over multiple generations. There are plenty of other reasons to avoid most grains. As I explained earlier, anti-nutrients, particularly mold toxins, lectins, and phytates, are common in most grains, beans, and seeds. Corn is a double whammy, as it frequently contains mold toxins from a fusarium species that infects corn as it grows, and is often genetically modified. Another indirect problem with corn is that these days most farmed animals eat a great deal of corn in addition to other garbage and foods lacking nutrients, as it is cheap and easy for farmers to produce. But consuming animals that eat corn is sometimes even more harmful than eating the corn itself, as many animals concentrate the corn toxins in their fat. Corn and its derivative products are kryptonite and are found in almost all processed foods. It will keep you from starving, but it won't help you thrive. Dubious dairy. The final category of foods to avoid on the bulletproof diet is conventional dairy. This includes milk and most things made from milk: cheese, yogurt, cream, buttermilk, and ice cream. But not butter or its cleaner cousin, ghee, clarified butter. Butter is significantly healthier than the milk it is made from because the harmful milk proteins, including casein and BCM7, are largely absent from butter. What little milk protein remains in cultured butter has been enzymatically modified during the butter fermentation process and isn't a problem for most people. Most people can eat plenty of grass-fed butter and feel bulletproof. But if you have a slight allergy to casein and lactose, you can switch to ghee, which doesn't contain either. I'm actually allergic to dairy protein, but I can happily eat butter, and plenty of it, without a problem. Butter is also low in mold toxins. Less than 2% of even conventional butter is contaminated with mycotoxins. It's the dairy protein, casein, that concentrates mycotoxins. The secret ingredient in butter that makes it so good for you is butyrate, the same compound your gut bacteria produce when you eat resistant starch. Butyrate is a short-chain saturated fatty acid that has profound effects in obese mice fed a high-fat diet. It lowered blood cholesterol by 25% and cut triglycerides, then increased insulin sensitivity by a whopping 300%. It also prevented obesity, increased body temperature, and had a huge impact on improving mitochondrial function. Yes, a fat found in butter did that in mice, and seemed to have done the same types of things in me. In humans, butyrate has been proven to reduce inflammation even in the brain, and it keeps toxins from penetrating the gut lining too. A 2014 study found that eating butyrate was associated with an increased amount of healthy bacteria in the gut. We used to believe that butyrate created by fermentation in the lower gut was the same as butyrate from your diet, but this study showed that eating the short-chain fatty acids found in butter may affect the health of your lower GI tract in a slightly different way. This means it's not enough to either produce butyrate or eat it. To get the best results, you have to do both. Not all butter is created equal, however. Your butter must come from grass-fed cows in order to provide you with all of its potential health benefits, including 500 IU of vitamin A, more carotenes than carrots, and high amounts of vitamins K2, D, and E in just 1 tablespoon of grass-fed butter. If you're not yet convinced that butter is actually a health food, take a moment to consider this one fact. In 1910, butter consumption was 18 pounds per capita, and heart disease rates were below 10%. In 2000, butter consumption was less than 4 pounds per capita, and heart disease killed 40 to 45% of people. Conventional dairy products have surprisingly little in common with butter or ghee. One of the main problems with dairy is the harmful process of pasteurization, which heats milk to 150 degrees Fahrenheit for about 30 minutes before it is stored at temperatures below 55 degrees Fahrenheit. This process does reduce the small risk of milk contamination, but it also kills off the beneficial probiotics in the milk, denatures milk proteins, and basically transforms milk from a source of nutrition into a source of many health problems. In addition to reducing the vitamin content in milk, pasteurization turns milk's lactose sugars into beta-lactose sugars that the body absorbs faster, causing blood sugar spikes. Pasteurization also transforms the calcium in milk so that the human body cannot absorb it and alters milk's primary protein, casein, so that it is difficult to properly digest. Amazingly, the medical community has known about the harmful effects of pasteurization since the 1930s, when children who drank raw, unpasteurized milk were found to have less tooth decay than children who drank pasteurized milk. But pasteurization isn't the only harmful way milk is processed. In raw milk, the cream separates from the rest of the milk and naturally rises to the top. Homogenization is a process that prevents the cream from separating, making milk more stable for store shelves. But this practice also has harmful effects. All milk naturally contains a potentially harmful enzyme called xanthine oxidase, XO. But when you drink non-homogenized milk, your body is able to efficiently break down the XO and keep it out of the bloodstream. When milk is homogenized, globules of fat surround the XO, making it impossible for your body to break it down, with unknown effects. Cheese is even more problematic than milk, because the very process that turns milk into cheese also promotes the buildup of toxins. All cheeses are made using a combination of yeast, other fungi, and/or bacteria that form toxins in the cheese that kill off other organisms. But these toxins are also harmful to humans in varying degrees. Each and every batch of cheese may contain a unique mix of fungi from its environment, so it's nearly impossible to know exactly which toxins the cheese you're eating contains. The safest bet is to avoid cheeses altogether, as mold toxins are found in more than 40% of conventionally produced cheeses. The casein in cheese also concentrates the mold toxins consumed in the animal's diet. The process of pasteurizing cheese causes all the same problems as pasteurizing milk, particularly high amounts of denatured, less digestible, damaged casein. Other than butter and ghee, which are bulletproof, the only form of dairy I recommend is a suspect food that may or may not work for you. Full-fat organic raw milk, kefir, or yogurt from grass-fed cows. If you test yourself and can tolerate these, they can be a great addition to your diet. Low-temperature processed grass-fed whey protein concentrate also works well for some people, but use no more than 2 to 4 tablespoons per day, as whey is high in amino acids that can cause inflammation in excess. The good news is that it is not necessary to consume dairy protein in any form on the Bulletproof diet, because you'll get the same health benefits from other delicious Bulletproof foods without any of the risks. Fuel your brain. Studies show that when you work a region of the brain harder, the microcapillaries deliver more blood to that part of the brain. And when it gets there, the neurons actually use the energy delivered in the blood. The implication, which is still a matter of debate in academia, is that cutting calories can negatively impact your brain function as well as your body, while feeding your body with more calories actually provides you with more brain power. This is a scientific explanation of something that feels pretty obvious when you think about it. I know I don't think particularly well when I'm hungry. A calorie deficit is definitely a stressor on your body, and non-productive stress lowers brain function. You will not function in an optimal state for very long if you aren't eating enough calories, and consuming as many calories as your body demands is a critical part of the Bulletproof diet. As long as they come from the right sources and you're listening to your hunger, the more calories you eat, the more calories your metabolism and brain will use. Surprisingly, we have seen in fruit flies that severe caloric restriction, meaning consuming one-third fewer calories than the body burns, helps increase longevity. Some of my anti-aging colleagues have tried this with mixed results. From looking at the research, it appears there is increasingly less evidence that this works in humans. You can get most of the genetic benefits of these regimens with a class of supplements called calorie restriction mimetics anyway. The bulletproof diet does not dictate exactly how many calories you should eat in a day, because when you stop feeding it kryptonite foods, your body will naturally regulate how much you want to eat. Nowadays, I normally eat about 2,500 to 3,000 calories a day, and I'm a muscular 6'4" male. If you follow the overall meal plan and eat bulletproof foods, you won't need to worry so much about the exact number of calories you consume. If you're accustomed to following a typical American diet, or have a habit of counting calories in order to lose weight, the thought of giving up this practice might be scary. These diets may have gotten you so out of tune with your body that you don't even recognize when you are hungry or when you're full, and so you rely on calorie counting and prepackaged meals to tell you how much and when to eat. The good news is that you're finally going to be free of all that on the bulletproof diet. When you start eating the right amounts of good fats with adequate protein and none of the garbage that breaks your body's natural appetite regulation equipment, your energy and hunger systems will come back online. You'll know when you're hungry, and you'll know when you're satisfied. There will be no more sugar crashes, and you won't have to suppress your appetite anymore. Diets have led so many of us to not trust ourselves. You may be worried that you'll overeat and gain weight on the bulletproof diet. But one of the best things about this diet is that it was designed to avoid overeating. The high amounts of fat you'll be consuming are so satiating that you won't want to overeat. In fact, it's virtually impossible to overeat on high-quality fats because they are so satiating. If you do find yourself gaining weight on the bulletproof diet, which is highly unlikely but not impossible, it's probably because you're eating too many carbs or you have hormone problems that need proper diagnosis. When you cut back on carbs and refocus on good fats, protein, and vegetables, the weight will come off effortlessly, and life itself will get easier. Getting most of my calories from healthy fats, especially high-quality saturated fats, has made a huge difference in my satiation, energy, and physical performance. As a competitive obstacle course racer and rock climber, such a diet has allowed me to perform and recover optimally while logging very minimal training hours. I am eager to continue self-experimenting and learning more bulletproof strategies for optimal performance. Andrew Thomas, nutritionist. The bulletproof diet has made the biggest impact on my brain fog. Eating this way gives me the focus and willpower to be in the zone at the tables for as long as it takes to win. Nam Lee, world poker champion. A few friends introduced me to bulletproof coffee about 9 months before I left to run across the country. At first, I thought the idea of adding saturated fat to your diet was insane, but it only took trying bulletproof coffee one time to see there was really something to it. I gradually began switching over to the bulletproof diet by eliminating sugar and dairy and adding grass-fed protein and fat. When I take care of my body this way, it performs and heals more efficiently. I need my body to get me all the way across America, and I'm grateful for the bulletproof diet for helping me get there. Anna Judd, athlete slash activist running across America. I tried to lose weight by jogging 3 times a week, but after 6 months, I barely dropped 10 pounds. Within weeks of hearing about the bulletproof diet, I went sugar, dairy, and gluten-free and started drinking bulletproof coffee at least 4 times a week. I lost almost 50 pounds, and my doctor told me to keep doing whatever I was doing. I plan to hike the Pacific Crest Trail and to stay bulletproof through the hike. I've been doing practice hikes this summer. I substitute ghee for the butter and add a little almond cacao butter with the brain octane, and it really hits the spot before a day's hike. Jeffrey. In 2012, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I was told that it is a degenerative disease, and the quality of my life will get worse and worse. I did my own research, and all of my remaining symptoms were gone within 3 days of starting the bulletproof diet. They have not come back. I can't imagine how my life would be now if I hadn't made the changes that I did. I can honestly say I've never been healthier in my life. I am currently enrolled at the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, and I hope to help and inspire as many people as I can. Josh. In 2009, I was a mess. I had just finished fitness competition season and was getting back to the life of a regular university athlete. I was battling celiac disease and dairy intolerance and struggling to maintain my lean physique despite hours of daily training. Then I found Bulletproof. Now I can't imagine feeling the way I used to. My performance has skyrocketed, and maintaining the look I want takes so much less effort than I ever imagined. Am I lazy? No. I still work harder than most, but I now have the energy and stamina to push when others would scream, stop. Ashley Wheatung, actor/athlete. I wondered why I used to get stomach aches, and now I know. Yogurt. The Bulletproof program made me aware. Dawn. Chapter 4. Eat fat for breakfast and carbs for dessert. An interesting thing I learned through my anti-aging research is that there's a rhythm to the body's sodium and potassium requirements. Your body needs more sodium than potassium in the morning, so your blood pressure can go up. But eating fruit, which has a lot of potassium, for breakfast causes your blood pressure to go down. Low blood pressure in the morning makes it harder to feel energized and ready to face the day. This was the first time I realized that eating, or avoiding specific foods at certain times of day, could cause a desired reaction in the body. Though I wasn't eating fruit for breakfast when I followed the extremely low-carb Eskimo diet for 3 months, I noticed that I woke up every morning feeling exhausted. My sleep tracking apps, which I'll talk about more later, showed that I was waking up 9 times a night. For me, optimizing sleep was particularly important, and my research told me that sustained low-carb diets negatively impact sleep because the brain needs some glucose to operate efficiently while asleep. In 2011, I met the late Seth Roberts at a quantified self conference where people who are interested in self-tracking or biohacking gather to share ideas. Seth Roberts was a quantified self pioneer who did some great research on butter and made a convincing case for eating at least a few carbohydrates in the evening for sleep quality. Why do so many of us eat granola and fruit in the morning? Because a company selling those products told us to. But the science shows us that the best time to eat those foods isn't when you may think. The idea that you can eat the same food at a different time of day to get a different reaction from your body flies in the face of the idea that counting calories is all you need to do to lose weight. But is it really so odd when you think about it? Some cultures have known about this for centuries. During Ramadan, the month designated by the Islamic calendar as the 9th in the year, Muslims fast during the day and then eat as much as they want at night, while Ayurvedic medicine has recognized the benefits of partial day fasting for thousands of years. By researching these traditions and the body's circadian rhythms and then experimenting on myself, I came up with a few simple timing hacks that will make a dramatic difference in the way you look, feel, sleep, and perform. It all starts with the most important meal, or in my case, beverage of the day. Breakfast. Bulletproof coffee. I first learned about the power of blended butter from a tiny Tibetan woman at 18,300 feet of elevation in a remote part of Tibet near Mount Kailash. In 2004, I staggered into her guest house, chilled from the thin, minus 10 degree Fahrenheit air, and she rejuvenated me with a creamy cup of traditional yak butter tea. I couldn't get enough of it. The biohacker in me asked, "Why does drinking this stuff make me feel so good, even though there's no air? And why would a nomadic person who lives in a tent and must pack light bother to carry a heavy blender or a hand churn?" These questions were a part of